Wednesday, 10/23/25. This is How Faith Works. I didn't put the title. Oh, well. How Faith Works. I'm not sure
part
what...
16.
Part 16. The subtitle is Silence is Golden. I think I can safely say that the biggest problem we have is our mouths. I think anybody would argue with that fact. This is James 3, 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. It's been my observance, especially among faith people, is that they may get a few more results than others, but they have their main problems still remain. I know there's probably just handfuls of people that actually their faith did work for them. I don't mean that to be negative, but it's true. I went to the Lord, seemed I was getting bombed every minute of every day and all night long. I'm saying, what is going on here, Lord? This is what he said to me. In any battle, radio silence must be maintained. As Christians, we think we must be saying something all the time. Praying, reading, confessing, and praising. Why do we think that? It is most of the time just a work of the flesh, and that is what the Lord meant when he said, maintain radio silence. We are giving our position away with all the praying, reading, confessing, and praying. Really, mainly the saying and the confessing and the just saying all, thinking we got to be saying something every minute that is in favor of our condition instead of in disfavorable about our condition. But the thing is, it's all a work of the flesh for the most part. We should do those things because we love God, not because we are trying to get this stuff off of us. Are we working? Are we working to get it off? If we can control that tongue, then we can control our bodies and our circumstances. That's why the Lord was saying to me, you're giving your position away.
He said that to me several years ago.
This is our biggest obstacle. The vocabulary of silence is where we ought to be hanging. Loose lips sink ships. Silence is golden, for if we maintain it, God will eventually be able to get a word in and show us what to do. As long as we're toiling and spinning, oh, I'm a this and I'm a that and I'm a yes, Lord, and all that junk that we do, he's just going, I'll just let them wear themselves out till they just fall over, you know? And then maybe I might be able to get a word in edgewise to help them do it, because they're busy confessing. Oh, I want to pray more. Oh, I'm going to spend more time in the Word. It's all an agenda. I got to work my way through this, and I got to get an answer. Anybody here know what that's about? I'm talking to you, Tannen. I'm talking to you. All right, Genesis 1. Lord didn't say, Holy Ghost, I'm going to try my best to work my way into getting this done. We got to get this done. Look at this mess we're facing here. We got to get this done. Wonder how long God confessed, prayed, meditated. He did, but I wonder how long he worked at it. It just says here, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It doesn't appear that he did anything until his Spirit gave him what to say. How about that? Our Spirit tells us what to say. Not our Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. This is all about an inside job, right? Then why are we working and toiling and spinning like the lilies? Consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil or spin. We are made in His image and likeness, and we are to solve our problems the way He did. He meditated on the situation. The Holy Spirit gave him the words to speak. When he spoke, he got results. And all your speaking, reading, praying, confessing, working out like it, did it work out? Is it working out like it worked out for God? Probably not. We probably are just making a big noise. And the devil's, there they are there! Incoming! We're just making a bunch of noise and giving away our position. Maintain radio silence until Holy Spirit gives us our light be about our situation. We're supposed to be resting, right? There is a rest to the people of God. What would that rest be? More praying, more confessing, more saying, more whatever we can think of to try to get this thing off of us. Trying to get a solution to this problem, toiling and spinning, making a big noise. We're just right up, wide open to be hit with an incoming bomb from the enemy. A soldier would be considered an idiot to blab out his position when headquarters had given him an order to maintain radio silence. He will probably end up in the brig. Feel like you're in Satan's brig? Flapping those gums puts a target on your back. Stop giving your position away. Keep that mouth shut until the Holy Spirit headquarters gives you something to say that will bring results. But you know, as faith people, we were taught you gotta confess and confess and confess and confess and confess and confess and confess. Till you fall over in the floor. All right. If you have spent years trying to get results and not getting any, I would say it's time to shut up and wait on the Lord. Maintaining radio silence will cause your life to be a lot more peaceful. Aren't you fed up with the bombardment? The devil aims to wear you out. Death and life are not in the power of God or the devil, but in the tongue. You know, it's about doing works of the flesh. It's not really even about confessing or anything else. If you're confessing the word God gave you to confess, it's just doing stuff to try to further ourselves along and try to get an answer to something. Seems to be the hardest thing in the world for the people of God to rest. Rest in the fact that God, I got it under control. If you'll stay out of the way. For several years now, the Holy Spirit has been talking to us about the inner life. That is where all the action is. It's not about doing stuff out here. More praying, more reading, more confessing, more whatever the heck I need to do. Or I feel like I need to do. If I don't do it, I'm not measuring up. If I don't do it, I don't feel like I'm just being disobedient to God. Because, you know, that's what we're taught. Who taught you that? Wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was the men. And I know they were noble, and a lot of times it worked for them, but it didn't work for most of us. It is an inside operation, not an outside operation. Outside is fleshly, inside is spiritual. Okay, I'm going to look at some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I just kept saying, Lord, what is going on here? How do you expect me to function like this? I can't do it. I said, well, give me your position away. Because I'd been starting to say things about my body and stuff that I really hadn't done in years. Look what it got me. Nearly blown to smithereens by the enemy. God don't need your fleshly help unless he specifically speaks to you to do something. Then it becomes a spiritual thing. All right, 2 Corinthians 2. This is starting with verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. I don't mind making you feel sorry. I'm not like Paul. I'm going, this sorry is for your good. This is so that you will finally get it and walk in the Spirit, myself included. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that we should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I give anything to whom I gave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me in the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And I don't think that was the scripture, that wasn't it. I'm going, okay, I know I had a point. Hold on, maybe I got the wrong chat wrong. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians, sorry. Made you hear all of that. 1 Corinthians 2. All right, let's try this again. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in this demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We need to get over this thinking we got to have these words of man's wisdom. The only thing that matters is the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by a Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's what was going on in Genesis 1. Everything. This walk with God, it's all from the inside. It's not about the outside. We've got to get a hold of this. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's what Christ in you, the hope of glory, is all about. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. We're not going to get it from the outside. We're going to get it from the inside. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Who's the teacher of the church? Yeah, there's teachers in the body of Christ, but who's the teacher of the church? The Holy Ghost. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When we need an answer from headquarters, it's a coming from the inside, not from the outside, not by the works of righteousness that we might do, or so-called. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's a coming from the inside. It ain't a coming from the outside. Quit looking to the outside. Quit looking to, well, if I confessed more, if I just prayed in the Spirit more, or if I just read my Bible more, or if I just acted better. It ain't a coming that way. This is an inside operation. All of it. That's why Paul spent most of his time talking to us about this. About not doing the works of the flesh, but connecting to the inner life. Living out of your spirit. That's what that's about. It's doing stuff out of your spirit. Not just these things we learned. Brother so-and-so said, or brother so-and-so said that, or we ought to do this, or we ought to do that. It ain't panned out. The victory is mine when the battle is the Lord's. He is the commander-in-chief, and he has a plan for your situation. Jesus said this. We're going to look at John chapter 6, verse 63. There's a rest to the people of God. Have you been resting? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Like Brother Copeland and Brother Hagin probably both have said, you just might as well be praying the rosary. Oh, Danny said that. Okay, sorry. Well, you're going to start listening to your own advice. Anyway, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit in their life. John 14. John 14, 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Father will do the works in you just like he did in Jesus. First John 5. By me thinking I need to speak over my body more and say what I want more, whether I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit or not, just do it like, you know, we used to do, that has given the enemy the right to come in and bomb me anytime he wants to, because I'm in the flesh when I do that. And so are you. Sometimes you just need to just be quiet. Silence is golden. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we know that he heareth whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Do we really believe that? Then why are we adding all this extra stuff, thinking we need to? Just believing ain't enough? Not according to this. 18 through 21 there. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him, that is true, and we are in him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. The flesh becomes an idol, thinking we got to add our to it, you know. God wasn't enough. What he said wasn't enough. We got to add what we think. Faith and confession have become idols to many people. Here we thought it was God, and it was flesh. 2 Timothy, the only time I ever really got an answer from God is when I pulled myself aside and prayed in the Spirit and got in the Word. And the Holy Ghost brought the peace up in my heart. It wasn't from confession lists, speaking certain things just because the little book says to do it. Mm-mm. Sorry, Word of Faith people, if you're listening to me, but maybe you need to get a revelation too. It's by the Spirit. It's not by works of the flesh. If what you're doing is by the Spirit, you just keep carry on. But if it isn't, stop it. Don't make an idol out of it. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Not a rote, but sound words, forcible words and spirit words. In Jesus' darkest moments on this earth, he said this to his disciples. This is John chapter 14. Even the Son of God had to watch his mouth. This is John 14:30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. There's another place where Jesus told him what was fixing to happen to him, and it said, then he got away from everybody. It's like he hid from them. He didn't trust himself in his place that he was in, that he might say something he shouldn't say. So he separated himself. John on the Isle of Patmos. This is Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. John received his message by the Spirit of God, out there exiled on Patmos by himself. You know what? It's just a matter of just give up the ship, your ship. Get on the right ship. The works of the flesh are not going to do it. They're not going to add anything unless the Holy Spirit specifically says, you do this, you say that. Makes me want to get rid of all these books down here. I don't want to lead anyone astray. Not that they meant to lead people astray. The point is, if you take those things and you make a work of the flesh out of it, it's not going to help you at all. Okay, some more scriptures. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I'd say to you, spirit words. If you're just saying 150 times, I'm healed, I'm well, I'm this, I'm that, you know the list. You know the list. How's that list working out for you? Now, if you're doing it and it's working, keep on, carry on is all I can say. Because we're about success here. We want people to get it. We want people to not suffer anymore. We want people to attain all God has for them. But I'm telling you, works of the flesh are not going to do it. All right, John 3:34. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. What? For God giveth not the Spirit my measure unto him. Jesus spoke God's words. Keep going. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Anytime I've ever received anything, I'm talking healing and stuff, it come up out of here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of non-effect. It's all about the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Read that a while ago. All right, 13 in that same chapter that I read a while ago. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay. Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The word there, vain, means empty words. You could say non-working words, just fleshly words. One more scripture, 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want to hear about any more bombings, okay?